I appreciate very much the opportunity to be here today. And greater than that, I think that we got more preachers than we can do anything with. This morning, it's always a pleasure for me to be in the presence of my friend. I see Brother Virgil back there and Brother Guthrie. Now, I'm jealous about a lot of things. Anybody tells you they're not jealous about some things, I mean, they're just not telling you the truth. Now, I mean, all of us are jealous to some degree about some things. But I can honestly say that when it comes to preaching, that I'm not jealous. I'd just as soon hear them, or rather hear them, than myself anytime. Now, if I wanted to, I couldn't preach like him. And if I wanted to, I couldn't preach like Brother Virgil, and they couldn't preach like me. Right. There's only one of them, and there's only one of him, and thank God there's only one of me. I saw division come among our people, just straight over preacher jealous.
Mercy.
And don't tell me it's not so, I've been around too long, but those prayers that go up, and I assure you that they are, I know from the heart, and I hope that you'll pray for me for the time that I stand before you this morning. I've been accused over the years of being a doctrinal preacher. Now, you know, our people have a tendency to put people in one category or another, or this kind of a category or another. And that may be true to understand. And a man told me one time, he said, "Brother Ricky, I think you preach too much grace." I said, "Well, that very well may be true in one regard. I may have not preached enough works. But you'll never make me believe I've yet preached too much grace."
Right, no.
I've not preached that. These brethren hadn't either.
No.
Because the graces, and I use that term in the plural, the graces of God that are formulated toward us are the greater purpose of God that is beyond us, that we can understand. Our opinions may be one thing. And all of us have got opinions about certain things in the Scripture. You know, my opinion about certain things may be different to yours and theirs to mine. All of us have certain controverted points that we have. And there is compromise to be made on unessential points. But on the fundamentals of the faith, there can be no compromise.
Amen.
The fundamentals of the faith are principles that cannot be compromised. Things change, times change, but the truth does not change.
That's right.
And the principles and foundations of the church do not and cannot change. Now, I want to begin this morning, and I'll assure you I'll expedite this as quickly as I can this morning. But I want you to think in your mind about the dominion of Christ. The dominion of Christ. And I'm going to give you my definition of the dominion of Christ. And I've written it down so that I could convey my thought to you in the simplest way that I can, and hopefully you'll understand what I'm going to do with this vast subject this morning. The dominion of Christ in the work of salvation is that ability, strength, and control whereby he can and does bring to pass whatever is necessary in the work of salvation. Now that's what I believe about that. Whatever his infinite wisdom may direct, and whatsoever the infinite purity of his will may resolve. Now, I want to be firm about this morning, because when we say about a king or ruler of some kind that he has dominion, that he has authority, over his kingdom, or that which he has authority to rule in by law. I say this about God and Christ, who is one with him. That is, that I believe the Bible teaches the sovereignty of God in all things and over all things. That's the sovereignty of God in all things and over all things. God is under no rule or authority outside his own will.
Right.
He does as he pleases, where he pleases, when he pleases. To say that we must allow God or let God do something implies that there is a power that may hinder God. If God is not the creator of all things, he cannot claim for himself the right to control all things. And I believe he does control all things.
Amen.
I believe he is the creator of all things. And his dominion, the Bible says, is from sea even unto sea. That's Old Testament. But let's go to the New Testament and then read in the book of Revelation. When he says in chapter 4 and beginning with verse 11, notice the terminology that is used. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Yeah.
They are and were created. That gets the past, that gets the present, that gets the future. That covers his dominion from every angle. And when I say that the doctrine of the church is that the dominion of Christ is that in the work of salvation, that from beginning to end, it is that ability, strength, and control whereby he does bring to pass all that is necessary in the work. Notice that, and I say a work, and salvation is a work.
Yeah.
It is God's work in you.
Yes, right.
We are his workmanship.
Yes, right.
So says Paul in Ephesians 2 and 10. We are his workmanship, created in what does the Bible, what did we just read to you from the 11th verse of the 4th chapter of Revelation?
Yeah.
Created in Christ.
Yeah.
What God does in you through the work of Christ is not an overhaul.
No.
It is a creation.
Yes.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Yeah. You see. So what I'm saying to you today is that in the dominion of the work of Christ, that work of Christ is his ability to take a son of Adam and make him by creation a son of God.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying to you. That's the position our people have always taken.
That's right.
And to deviate from that. Now, brother, I'm going to say this just as easy as I can, and if it offends you, we'll talk about it another time. But there have some that have come among our young preachers, sad to say, that have begun to think of that if we do not somehow conform to what the world does and to somehow introduce little by little among our people that our people are going to die and perish away. Now, I'm not fussing at young preachers. They're smarter than I am. I understand that. I understand that. I'm way behind in a lot of areas. But I want you to understand also that the church is under the dominion of Christ as the head of the church, just as he is the head and author of the salvation that will finally carry you to heaven.
That's right.
He is the defining factor of what the church is.
Yes.
He is the foundation and cornerstone of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we can call it the church of Christ and be real about it.
Yes.
We can call it the church of Christ and be real about it. We can call it the church of God and be fundamentally correct in saying that. We call it the Baptist church, and I firmly believe it is a Baptist or baptizing church. It is a Baptist or baptizing church. God's gift, the baptizer of John, came on the scene and he baptized. Paul baptized with the authority to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, in the name of the Trinity. His authority as a minister of the gospel and under the dominion and headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had the authority to baptize those into the church of the living God. And there was some that he called pillars of the church. There was some that were stronger than others, and that's true today. We find that. We find those who are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's been the history of God's people. But I want to tell you right now today, my friend, there has also been a remnant according to the election of grace that has persevered through the circumstances of life and through the powers of darkness and ungodliness. And that church that was established on the banks of the Jordan River still exists today under the headship and dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It still today exists. If I didn't believe it was here this morning, or where I serve, or where these brethren are, I'll tell you I'd be out looking for it.
That's right.
Because it's somewhere here in the world.
Amen.
And I'll tell you that I'm convinced today that it can be identified.
Amen.
It can be identified.
Yes.
The church can be identified. How is it identified? It is identified by its doctrine. It is identified by its practice.
Mm-hmm.
Unsound practice will breed unsound doctrine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say that. Unsound practice will breed unsound doctrine. And I'll tell you why. It's little things.
Right.
Little things. Now, and I thought about this, and this kind of changed my mind after I got here. I had something all laid out different I was going to preach about before I got here. Brother David said that the church called off, and I understand. Being the position I'm in, I understand about civil authority. I understand that we have to obey the laws of the land. If there weren't any laws, the godless would take the country over. I understand that. If there wasn't any criminals, we wouldn't need any jails. You know, it cost the state of Alabama about the same in Georgia. It cost us $28,000 a year to house criminals in our justice system. More than many people make. You understand? And we have to confirm that with medical care, dental care, and every other benefit that you and I have. Now, that's just the way it is. That's the law of the land. And we have to conform to that whether we like it or not. But I'm going to tell you something today. When our people become afraid of Article 25, Now, you know, I'm not fussing at Mount Olive Church, and I'm not fussing at you, but I want to tell you one thing. Little by little, that can take hold.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that, you know, little by little. You know, two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, one step back. That very thing can take a hold. And I know there may be circumstances where we have to we have to be careful. I'm not saying all that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. We better remember that the dominion of government does not supersede the dominion of Christ.
Amen.
We better remember that. That's vital.
Right.
That's vital to our freedom. And I'm going to tell you today, when men come to the place and say, well, Brother Ricky, we know what the Bible says. We know what is being said today. We understand that. But let's just separate our children and put them over here on one side and separate the grown folks over here on another side. And if we'll just do that and kindly center our thoughts on a children's church. Brother, I want to tell you right now, every Primitive Baptist church I know is a children's church.
Yes.
You know why? Because we're compared to little children in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
We're little children in the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you this, what's good for you is good for them.
Yes.
Hear me?
Yes.
That's right. Doctrine won't hurt them.
No.
They're going to live through it. That's right. They're going to live through it. And we need to be reminded of that. But greater than that, the fundamentals, they're not built on the mud seals of what men think or our opinions are. I don't care where you go, what you do, or how you think about it. We must understand that the Creator God not only stands as the foundation of the church, but His Son stands as the head of the church, and the head, without the head, the body cannot and will not function. Will not. You say you cut a head off, and this body will cease to function. But I want to tell you right now, with the head, the body functions. Every movement of your body functions from the head. And if the church is what it claims to be, every movement that it makes must be directed by the head, who has dominion. Now listen to this. In Matthew 16:13, very familiar scripture to you. Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and inquired of his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say that thou art Elias. Some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he turned to those there, Brother Virgil, and he said, whom do ye say that I?
Yeah.
You see how personal it gets with it?
Yeah.
It's a personal thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to get on some of my brethren. There's another point I've been wrong on. Religion, I get on to them about a personal Savior. Well, I've come to realize, my friend, that's just exactly what the Lord Jesus is, a personal Savior.
Amen.
He does something for you personally. In His dominion. He does something for you individually. With the ability that He has. He does something for you in a way that He may not do for me. Our experiences are never the same. But yet we have an experience. Now I've had some of our brethren try to argue with me that there wasn't any difference after a man is born again than it was before he's born again. I'll tell you right now, if that's the truth, I've missed something somewhere.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you there's a difference made. There's a difference made. Psalms 55:10 says, because the wicked have no changes. You know, the wicked have no changes. I want to tell you right now that if you're a child of God, you've got a nature about you, but if you've been born again, there's been change made.
Yes.
There's been a change made.
Yeah.
I remember a man one time over at my house. He said, Brother Ricky, I used to didn't like to come to church. I didn't like to hear you preach. I could go hear you preach at a funeral, and I could, and I just didn't mean one thing. And you know what? He joined the church there where I was pastoring at, and he said it used to didn't mean one thing, but he said, now it means everything.
Yes.
He's even a changed man.
Yeah.
And when the Lord makes that change with that dominion of ability and surety that he is and has, I want to tell you that there is a change made in the child of God. And because there's a change made, bless your sweet heart, just as sure as heaven is happy, like a little child, we come to receive that, not depending on ourselves, but depending on him who is able. Him who is able. You know, there's this baby in his mother's arms right here. That baby's dependent.
Yes.
Dependent on somebody else. Well, I want to tell you today, we are dependent on an independent God.
Yes.
We are dependent on an independent God. And when Paul came to preach, he didn't mince any words about it. He didn't mince any words. He said, known unto God are all his works.
Yeah.
From the foundation of the world. That's Bible, my friend.
Yeah.
And don't let us fight fatalism so hard till we lose sight of the sovereignty of God. I've said that and I still say it.
Yeah.
Don't let us fight fatalism so hard that we lose sight of the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
I don't have to allow God to do anything. A fella told me yesterday, he said, God, try and tell us something. I said, brother, God don't try to do nothing. You hear me? God doesn't try to have to tell us. He's trying to tell us something. I want you to understand today, what God he does, he does.
Right.
Whatever he does not cause, he suffers to be.
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
Hear me?
Yes.
Whatever God does not cause, he suffers to be. And I'm convinced that it's for our good and his glory. He suffered to be all right. You know, you could ask Joseph right now. He went through a lot of things. When I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to him about it. I want to talk to him. Joseph, what did you think about it when you were down there in that miserable dungeon? What did you think about it when they were cursing and railing against you? What about it when that woman made some kind of false accusation about you and made some kind of false advance towards you? And you ran and left your coat. Tell you right now, it's better to lose his coat than his character.
That's right.
And I'll tell you, he held that.
Yes.
But when it all came down to the end and his old daddy died, you know what? He said to those brothers there that thought surely he was going to put them to death, read Genesis chapter 15, verse 20. You meant it for evil. That doesn't mean sin. That's trouble. You meant it, evil. God, you know what the Bible says? Read Isaiah 45. I won't take time. Read it all. It'll be good for you. God said create. God said I create light. I create darkness. I create trouble. He does. Evil. That's what he's talking about. I create good and I create evil. Don't go away and charge God with sin.
Right.
Don't do that. But I want to tell you right now, God can create trouble. He can prove that by the Bible. He can create trouble for you. He did for those disobedient, for those people that reared up against Israel and for Israel themselves. He created trouble for them. But you know who sent those fiery serpents among those people? God did. God is troublesome, brother. Yes, sir. It was trouble. God did. God did it. They spake against God and they spake against Moses. And then you know what they had to come back and do? Moses, pray for us. We've sinned against God. We've sinned against you. We want you to pray for us. We want you to pray for us. Now I'll tell you right now, they set that serpent on a pole, which was a typical figure of the Lord Jesus Christ and his dominion over sin and unrighteousness. And I affirm to you today that the Lord Jesus, Brother Virgil, today is still triumphant over sin and unrighteousness. Our sin rises before God's holy eyes and Sinai's dark and roaring mount. But just as that sin rises before God's throne. I want to tell you, Christ's righteousness supersedes that very thing.
Amen.
What a glorious thing that is today.
Amen.
The righteousness of God, and you are made the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
You see? You are made the righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, and all him are ye. Have what? In Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. What's he made unto us? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. For as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
I'll tell you, right in the midst of this pandemic, I'm still glorying the Lord, can't you?
Yeah.
Right in the middle of it. I don't care what to say. Now, I don't want it. I don't want it. And I'm doing all I can do. But you know, we can meet here, and I'm telling you right now, I stopped at the dollar store over yonder a while ago. There's more folks there than there are here. You hear? And they weren't taking near as many precautions, I'll tell you that, right now. You know, you're dealing with mankind. You're not dealing with some kind of angel. You're dealing with mankind. And mankind, you know, there's a common denominator in men. You know that? You know, I had a hard time with long division. I did. I never was a very good mathematician. I got better. At, you know, I asked a kid the other day, let me tell you this while I'm thinking about it. I said, What stage of arithmetic are you at? Do you know he didn't know what a thing I was talking about? He didn't know what arithmetic was. I finally had to change the terminology and say math. Then he got it, you know, just like that. Well, just to tell you the truth, I never was very good at algebra. I mean, I had to take it because it was required. Never was real good at geometry. I mean, I had to take it because it was required. And I was worse at long division. Now I could divide 2 into 4. I could divide 4 into 8, because that is simple. You know why? Because it had a common denominator that I could see. But when I had to go to the decimal point, and the decimal point, and the decimal point, and the decimal point, you know, it was hard for my little mind to comprehend that. Well, I'm going to tell all of you here something. This is simple arithmetic. There is a common denominator in you and me called sin. And you can divide that any way you want to, but I want to tell you right now, it's still there, and it's still working on you. It's still in the process, whatever you do. Sin is there. It's ever there.
Yeah.
It is there. And it identifies with you. It identifies in the government. It identifies in every state of life. I don't care where you are, what profession you're in. In every church, it identifies with that. And it identifies with men because when they see the multitudes, Brother David, they say, well, they must be doing something right. They've got a multitude out there. You know what the Bible says in Acts 13:44? When the multitude saw the people that followed Paul and the other preachers that were there, you know what the Bible said? What they said about the multitude? They were filled with envy. They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken of by Paul and Barnabas, and they began to reduce their message. It doesn't mean a thing, they said. But I'm glad today to tell you that when they heard that, you know, I used to worry about sometimes, I may have said this here, about preaching the same thing over. You know what those folks wanted Paul and them to do? They wanted them to preach the same sermon they preached the Sunday before.
Yeah.
Same one. Said, we won't hear it again.
Yeah.
Thank God we got people who won't hear it again. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank God we got people who want to hear it again. Thank God it's a message that never grows old. Thank God sow seed. You can start somewhere, but you'll never get it all told. Thank God today that mystery, according to Romans 16 and 25, that was kept secret since the foundation of the world, and you listen to it here, ends up this way: to the only wise God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Amen.
Go with me to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to add a little jam on this bread right here. Listen to it. Ephesians chapter 3, the last two verses. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Now unto him that is able.
Yeah.
Unto him that is able. I want to tell you, I'm preaching to you a Savior that's able to serve.
Amen.
I'm preaching to you a God that's able to perform.
Yeah.
I'm preaching to you a God that's under oath to do what he said he would.
Yeah.
I'm preaching to you a God today that can take the vilest of sinners and bring him to his knees.
Yeah.
I'm preaching to you a God that through the work of the Holy Ghost and his dominion through Christ is able to take the vilest sinner, the most numerous army, and the difficult circumstances and overroot and bring good to his people and glory to his name, if he wills to do it that way. If he wills to do it that way. Listen now to the terminology. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. You see the descriptive adjectives in that? To him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Now I tell you, that gets it all, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think.
Yeah. Amen.
Now listen to the rest of it. According, or in, that word according means in agreement with.
Yeah.
To the power that worketh in us.
Yeah.
Now, brother, I'm going to tell you right now, you better understand that.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing I've said, or any of the rest of these brethren could have said all morning. It's not original with me. Here it is. It's been preached since the gospel was preached. According to the power of what? The power of the dominion of Christ,
yeah,
the sovereignty of God, the element of his power and wisdom and ability to do and perform that which he has promised to perform. And that power works in you.
Yes.
As the church under the headship of Christ. I want to tell you today, the other day I had a press conference last Monday. Got to have another one in the morning. Do you know what? And I'm not a Facebook fan, but they told me the paper, it's the most they've ever had. Look at it. Now let me tell you what it did. You know what I did after we got through with it? Everybody got the hospital guy and everybody else was over there. I said, we've once been through this for a while, but we have not had one official here say, let's pray. Pray. You know I did that, and I prayed along about the same things I preached today. And do you know what? We began to see amens come up on that thing. Amen. Now I know they didn't believe like I did. We wouldn't agree on nothing. we wouldn't agree on the slightest iota of nothing. Even what they don't believe half the say they do. You understand that? They sound them down. They don't believe half the say they do. But I want to tell you one thing. When you mention prayer and you get in a problem, I'll tell you one thing. They begin to shell down the corn there. They began to shuffle. And while they're doing that, you know, they need to remember it. I need to be reminded. It's according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory. Listen now. Unto him be glory. Where? In the church. In the church. Now I recognize, and we have to make a division in the church. You know what? All of you, all the family of God, are members of the church of the firstborn.
Yeah.
Whose names are written in heaven. That's the elect family of God in every age and every generation. The church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. That ecclesia, the called out. But I want to tell you right now, while we live in time, we give glory and honor and dominion in the church, that physical body of baptized believers.
Amen.
Somebody said, I can worship God just as good on the riverbank. You can worship God on the riverbank, it won't be just as good. Yeah. God never set up the riverbank for you to worship Him. That's right. Some man says, I said, where were you? He says, you wasn't at church, son. He says, somebody said you went to the car race in Talladega. He said, no, sir, I did not, and I got the fish to prove. Amen. Pray over that and come to you. Yeah. Now, what I'm saying to you is that you can worship God on the riverbank, but even under the old covenant, God set up the tabernacle.
Yes.
It's called the church in the wilderness.
That's right.
They that sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle.
That's right.
And here he says, in this new covenant age, unto him be glory, where? In the church.
Yes.
Who? By he who has dominion. By Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Hello. Throughout all ages.
Yeah.
Listen. Throughout all ages. World without end. Amen. You see, so we have authority to give glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, in every age, world without end. Amen. All right, now, let me go back to Matthew 16 and I'll wind this down. Bible tells me, and he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and I've already told you who they identified him as. But he says to those that were there, whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? And that bold apostle Peter said, thou art Christ,
yeah. The
Son of the living God. You know what Jesus said to him? You're a blessed character, son.
Yeah.
Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. That word bar means son.
Yeah.
Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah. Why? Because flesh and blood doesn't have dominion in the work of salvation.
No.
Flesh and blood does not have dominion in the work of God's eternal plan.
Right.
Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee,
yeah.
But my Father,
yeah.
Which is in heaven.
Amen.
And thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter now.
Right.
Not Peter. But upon this rock I'll build my churches. Nope. Church. Singular. Body baptized believers. Singular. Upon this rock. Rock of what? The rock of revelation.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see?
Yes.
In that dominion, in that role that he has, he is the head, body, and feet of the church. Heard one of our preachers say not long ago, he has no hands but ours. What a statement to make. If you'd ever told me you'd have heard that from a Primitive Baptist pulpit, I'd have said you'd dream. But I did. Has no hands but ours. I'll tell you right now, you don't need my hands. They're too filthy. Now I recognize that we're instruments to preach the gospel. I recognize that. But I said this and say it again. If no gospel is preached, the dominion of Christ is still there.
Amen.
He has no feet but ours. I want to tell you right now, my God's got hands.
Yes.
You hear me?
Yeah.
My God's got hands.
Yes.
Yes, sir. The Bible tells me that he holds the seas in the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
Hear me? His feet standing upon the mountains. His eyes behold the good and the evil. His knowledge, his foreknowledge, his omnipresence, all of those attributes describing the character of God, my God has. Yet he is invisible to the natural eye, and yet Jesus Christ, who was the image of the invisible God, has dominion. Why? Because he is one with the Father, and he proved that to his disciples time and time again. But now he says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, rock of revelation, I will build my church in the singular. I'll build my church. And what? The gates of hell. The gates of hell. Not just hell, not even the gates. Here. The gates of hell may not, no, gates of hell shall not. Gates of hell shall not prevail or have dominion over it. And whatsoever thou shalt bind, listen now, bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you know what that's telling you? That in God's dominion, whatever the disciples had authority to preach, God authorized it.
Right. Yeah.
He loosed it. And he bound them to preach it. He bound it in heaven to a certain time, and then he authorized them to preach it. He gave them their marching orders. He said, whatsoever thou shalt loose is authorized to be loosed. It's authorized to be preached. And what's the church's responsibility? The church's responsibility is to exercise what God has loosed for us.
Yes.
And authorized to do. We have no authority to go beyond what the scripture says.
That's right. Amen.
We have no authority to go beyond what the scripture says. What is not authorized in the scripture is by the same token condemned by the scripture. You see, that's always been our position.
Yes, it has.
What is not authorized by the scripture. Now I know we have customs that are non-essentials. But I'll tell you what the church did and what y'all do here at Macedonia, what we do in Mount Olive and up in the College River, people where Brother Virgil goes in here. And we all know this, not sense enough to remember it, but I want you to think about it today because of the dominion of Christ. And I close with this thought. You understand this, that the Christ of the Bible, the Christ of the Bible himself has authorized us, has authorized us to do four things in his church and under his headship and dominion. And here's what they are. We are authorized to preach. Preach the gospel. You know what the Bible says in the books of Acts, and that's the early church? The word of God grew and prevailed. It grew and prevailed. There were some there that were more noble because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. These that had been loosed by the apostles under the dominion of Christ. And not only that, you remember this, that the preaching of the gospel is God's only means of building his church. That's what it is. That's his means of building his church. It is not, the church is not an entertainment center. It is not a reform school. All right? I'm telling you that this lady told me the other day, bless her heart, and I love her to death, kin to me. And I can talk about kin folks want to. She said, oh, Brother Richard said, we just love you and love what you preach. And she ain't got a clue about what I preach. Ain't got a clue about it. I said, where are you going? I said, you still going to, oh, go to church every Sunday. Said I quit going to the Baptist church up here in town. I said, well, where you go now? I go to Methodist church. Said I said, well, why'd you leave up there? Well, they've just got a pastor that preaches about love all the time, and I really like that. Well, now you know there's nothing wrong preaching about love. Well, love one another. Amen. That's that great commandment. Love one another. But I tell you, that's not all he is in the Bible.
That's right.
You hear me? That's not all we're authorized to preach. You know, we're authorized to preach those things that oftentimes make us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They are. We're authorized to preach those things that we feel like God's people need. That's how God builds his church. You understand? Now, they preached and they prayed. We did that. And they sang. Now, I said this before, and I said, I love the way you sing. Nobody likes it any better than me. I was raised to sing. Right? Nobody likes it as good as I do. There's some folks one time said he likes singing better than he does preaching. Well, that's not so. But I like it. I'll tell you that. I like it. But the church can exist without singing.
Yes.
It did.
Yeah.
For generations. The Philadelphia Confession of Faith put in its articles of faith the singing of hymns. Check that out. That's where it was. They put in there the singing of hymns. They authorized the singing of hymns. Up to that point, for hundreds of years, it was never authorized in the church because they had to worship in different circumstances. Some of them in fear. But they authorized the singing of hymns in 1704. They authorized the singing of hymns. That's right. All right, they preached. They prayed. They sang. That's right. And you know what else they did? They laid aside on the first day of the week.
Yeah.
As the Lord commanded.
Right.
Those four things. You know, that's simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's simple work.
Yes,
that's what we've always done, isn't it, Brother Vernon? Now, we may have a custom here or a custom there. Somebody may get upset because we don't shake hands every Sunday. Somebody may get sick because we don't have... somebody over in our part of the country thinks you can't have a conference, but on Saturday before the second Sunday, on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. You know what I mean? There's no such commandment as that in the Bible. You know, we do that, and our claim to fame is we do it for decency and in order. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that, but that's non-essential. That's non-essential. But I will tell you one thing, what is essential? The preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel in power, acknowledging God for who he is as the creator and sustainer of all things, and the dominion of Christ in his work, the successful work of Christ, and our sacrifices to God in praise, and the things that God has blessed us with for the church and its blessing to others outside of these walls. I want to tell you right now, you folks here at Macedonia and everywhere else I know are blessings to folks outside these buildings. You make it possible for a lot of us to do things outside the walls of this building.
Right.
You can burn the church at Mount Olive down, that building, the church will still be there.
Yeah.
You can tear this, you know, wind can come blow this building away. You know, church will still be here.
Right.
Church will still be here. You know why? Because it's not founded on this piece of ground.
Right.
It's not founded here on this beautiful knoll in the rolling hills of North Georgia where all of our kin folks in Alabama come from, right over here. Amen. That's right. But I want to tell you something. It's founded on he who has dominion.
Yeah.
It is founded upon he who is the rock.
Amen.
He is the rock, and the Bible says that. Now, if I had time, I'd preach on it. All right, now it's time to quit. No, it's not just 11 o'clock. It might have this time to start. But I'm not going to do that to you. But I'll tell you one thing. They had that rock with them over in the Old Testament, didn't they? If you doubt that, read 1 Corinthians 10. You know what it said about that rock, where the water came from? He said that rock that followed them was Christ.
Amen.
He was there with them. And I'll tell you, he's still here with us today. He has dominion, the ability, the power, and we have the assurance in that dominion through a sovereign God who is under no rule outside his own will. My God, let's rest our case there.
Yes.
And in doing so, we're on safe ground.
Right.
Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for letting me preach. I've enjoyed trying to preach to you. I hope that you'll understand what I think. You'll measure these things by the Word of God. Don't take it because I said it. Just measure it by the Word of God. It's the best rule that there are. And I'll tell you when you've done that, if it's not the truth, the Bible will tell you what to do with it, the one that preached it. But if it is the truth, if you'll use it, it'll be good for you.
Amen.
It won't carry you to heaven, but I'll tell you what it will do. It'll make you a blessing, not only to the kingdom of God, but for those that are around you. May God bless you, is my prayer for Jesus' sake.